CAGFA meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Co-chair Bellick?
Here.
Senator Frericks? Senator Murphy? Representative Nekritz? Representative Poe? Representative Riley? Senator Schmidt?
Here.
Co-chair Schoenberg?
Present.
Senator Severson? Senator Trotter? And Representative Tryon.
Thank you very much. We have a quorum. The agenda today is the FY 2013 State Employees Group Insurance Contracts Hearing. We'd like to the overview of FY 2013 Group Insurance Program. HFS? CMS? Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Colin Brewer with the Department of Health Care and Family Services. I don't actually have a prepared statement for the commission. I'm just here to answer any questions that you may have for us.
Are there questions from the members? Thank you. Senator Schoenberg.
Thank you. First of all, I want to preface my questions with public thanks to Colm. This, I understand, is your last day.
Correct, sir.
This is not, well, I want to tell just to let you know how much we have all appreciated all that you've done. You've done exceptional work. I know your next professional challenge will be a great one, but I do want to let you know on behalf of all of us how much we appreciate it, and especially how much I appreciate what you've done.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to serve.
Well, I can't say we've always made it pleasurable.
But we've had a good time doing it.
That's an understatement. I'd like to initiate the questions for you and Director Weems. As we know, the administration of the group insurance program is supposed to begin of July 1 of this year. I'd like to know if that transition is going to occur on schedule and where we are in that transition.
Again, good afternoon. Malcolm Weems, Director of Central Management Services. With regard to the transition of group insurance over to Central Management Services, we are prepared on July 1 to fully take the reins. Colm and other members of HFS have worked with our staff in terms of getting them prepared. Our staff is working and monitoring the procurement as procurements move along. We plan on instituting intergovernmental agreements with the staff that will be coming over July 1 and do that on June 1 so that we'll have them working with us actually before July 1 to be better prepared.
So with the RFP being actually due today for managed care, can you tell us how many responses you're anticipating on receiving and when you project being able to make an award?
Well, the deadline for submitting bids is now, but they won't actually do the bid opening, so we don't know at this point exactly how many different potential vendors have bid on the RFP. I believe that given the general procurement process, that we will now begin the administrative review, the technical evaluations, and then finally the pricing proposal reviews. The technical evaluations are the more complex part of that overall process and usually take about a week and a half to 2 weeks typically. And then given potentially an opportunity to maybe seek best and final offers from any potential vendors, I don't want to put a very specific date on it, but obviously
of
we're
course.
Trying to move the process on as quickly as possible.
Our understanding, this is no surprise to anyone here, that the plan is to enter into a 90-day emergency contract with Health Alliance HMO and Personal Care HMO. Where are we in that process?
We've actually just received, in addition to Health Alliance HMO, there's also Health Alliance Illinois.
Right.
HMO and the Coventry, formerly Personal Care.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually today received executed contracts from all three of those on the emergency contracts. So they just need to be executed on our end with our director and then filed with the comptroller, and they will be ready to go.
And then finally, in terms of the length, the duration of the emergency contracts and the terms under which those emergency contracts will be executed, do we anticipate there'll be any kind of meaningful increase in the cost, and or will this extend beyond a 90-day period?
The contracts as of now are set for a 90-day emergency contract term. There is the possibility after 90 days to extend those with a public hearing with the EEC, and that's really a function of how long it takes for this collective bargaining process to be completed and the supplemental HMO that's on the street. As you know from prior testimony, these contracts were entered into last July 1, and those emergency contracts were all executed with the fiscal year 2011 rates. So yes, we did negotiate with the vendors for moderate rate increases for fiscal 13.
Okay. Well, that's it for me for questions. Again, I want to reiterate my thanks. You know, as I was thinking, knowing that this was going to be your last day, the success that we have achieved in working through the retiree health insurance premium question, doing it in a way which arguably will have far better outcomes by taking a graduated ran across the board approach. None of that would be possible without your efforts, without your intellect, and without your integrity. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you. Just don't tell the retirees that.
They know.
They know.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to reiterate that thank you for all your help. We really appreciate it and wish you good luck.
Thank you very much.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colin, best of luck to you and what tomorrow's endeavors or whenever those start. Hopefully you get a little time off beforehand. No such luck.
No rest for the wicked.
What is the modest increase for the 90 days for the first 3 months of fiscal year 13 that was negotiated for an increase?
And this would be a figure that goes across all four of our plans, state, local, TRIP, and SIP. The overall average for all three plans combined is, I believe, just under 5%.
And where does that compare to is there an industry average right now that would be applicable for 2013? How does that compare?
Well, I typically consult I typically communicate with our actuarial consultants to determine, you know, they do surveys of the industry, and at least for budgeting purposes, over the last couple years and for fiscal 13, we've been using medical trends of about 6.5% to 7%. So I think, and given the fact that all of these contracts are being negotiated off of actual 11 rates, I would say that they are modest but more than acceptable rates.
So we're off of a lower base and a lower percentage increase.
Correct.
As well. Okay. Do you anticipate a need to go beyond 90 days? I mean, is there a plausible scenario where it would become necessary to do an emergency extension beyond the first 90 days of 2013?
Well, in addition to just looking at the supplemental HMO that is on this street, we're also, and mostly CMS, is in the middle of collective bargaining, which will set the benefits for the coming year. And really, depending on when that collective bargaining discussion is completed, That could have an effect that would require these contracts to be extended beyond 90 days. It also depends on whether or not, as you know, when we provided prior testimony, that under the terms of this RFP, there are no guarantees of any awards or any contracts to anyone. So it really depends on the outcome of these emergency contracts.
Now, with regard to the current RFP, who is administering that process right now? I mean, for purposes of that RFP, have we transitioned already to CMS from HFS?
No, the RFP was issued through the EEC on behalf of HFS. The staff is currently located at HFS that monitors the procurement. However, as Director Weems had stated, they have played an even greater role in past weeks, knowing that this transition was forthcoming. So it's really being done in conjunction. We are the issuing agency at this point, and if the RFP is completed prior to a full transition, then it would be done completely under us with the assistance of CMS. But it's really being done in a conjunctive manner at this point.
And the transition date is June 1?
July 1.
Okay, but you've got the intergovernmental agreement starting June 1. Is it contemplated that you would do that at least in part to try to address the completion of this RFP?
Well, right, to make sure that we're involved. Correct, right.
And when would you anticipate, and this could be for either of you, signed contracts on the supplemental RFP?
Well, given that we, as I mentioned earlier, given that there is an evaluation period, and obviously even with the quickest of all turnarounds, you know, there's always still, after a recommendation and a notice of award, there's usually a 14-day protest period that we would have to wait out before we could actually consider that process done. I don't think there's a lot of contract negotiations that would be required in this overall process, but like I said before, I don't necessarily want to give a fixed date of completion.
Just knowing that
both agencies
and you're not going to be here, so we can't hold you to it anyway.
They'll have it done by Friday.
I have his number.
Yeah. Tag, you're it.
Right.
But is it realistic that it's going to be, I mean, what's a general time frame, though, for when we might expect to have this wrapped up?
Well, since I can't be held to it, I would say the most favorable outlook would probably be a month from today.
In the worst case scenario?
The worst case
plausible scenario, I suppose.
Depending on the outcome, I mean, obviously we're all very familiar of the length of time it took us under the last HMO to go through the protest period, which was extended, and other hearings and things of that nature. I mean, I don't suspect that we're going to have those types of problems, so I'm a little bit hesitant to say what the worst-case scenario is.
But best case, it would be about a month.
I would like to think that's possible.
Okay. Now, when we were at the Audit Commission hearing last, the director of HFS had a list up on the PowerPoint of sort of changes and reforms and things that were learned that are being implemented now. So who will it be who is going to be primarily responsible for having that checklist on hand as we go step by step through this process to make sure that all of those things that we learned that the administration has documented are actually followed?
Well, I can say that we have recently completed the RFP for the self-insured medical programs. As of today, Cigna is the vendor, and that contract was again awarded to Cigna for fiscal 13 and forward. All of those items that the director had mentioned were actually already put into effect in that RFP that has now been completed, which I know, given the scrutiny of on OHP in the past, that people will probably be looking at that again. But I feel very confident that all those things the director has spoken about in the past will easily be seen when looking at the RFP that we just completed. And as we go through the process, we again made sure that they are, that all of those reforms were included in this RFP to make sure that we're following all the procedures correctly and making sure we have the best transparent RFP we can.
And then what about the ones for the self-insured that, that are due back today? Who is going to be the point person or the most responsible person at HFS to make sure that those guidelines that were laid out as things learned from the last process are actually, you know, are in fact followed in this instance to completion and signed contract?
Well, even though the executive order is taking healthcare purchasing and officially putting it back in CMS where it was several years ago, I think it would be wrong to characterize us currently as being separate. I mean, even though there are two responsible agencies, we have both been in constant communication, you know, just as a matter of daily business in order to accomplish all of our goals. They have been and have more recently been even more involved in the monitoring of the process. They will be responsible for administering any contracts that are awarded under this. So I think there is, in a sense, and I don't want to speak for Director Weems, but I think there is a dual responsibility here, and we are both working very closely together to make sure that we're on the same page with regard to these procurements.
And tomorrow, who will be working closely with Director Weems from HFS toward that end?
Well, if I could, what we have a person that's going to be point for us, Marsha Armstrong. She's in our Bureau of Benefits. She is familiar with the work that needs to be done in group insurance. She'll be our point person, but still working with the staff that Colum worked with. So we're hoping that, the way we see it is that we'll have oversight. We won't have all of Colum's experience come tomorrow, but what we will have is a plan for how we will interact with the staff that will be coming over. And then we'll have to assess the situation to see if we need to bring in more help. But at this point, I think Colum's right. We've been working together. Our folks are clear on what's going to happen, once he leaves. So we think we're confident. Again, Marsha Armstrong has been with CMS for a while. She understands group insurance, and we're hoping that she can fill the big shoes.
Okay. And so is she going to have the CMS part of this shared responsibility or the HFS part of this shared responsibility?
Ultimately all of it. Ultimately all of it. That's what the IGAs are for.
And, okay, so starting June 1, effectively, Marsha is going to be responsible. That's sort of the completion of the wedding of the two agencies and the transfer over will really be June 1. You'll have the intergovernmental agreement. So HFS has really kind of moved on, so to speak, from it starting June 1, with the exception of the fact that it's their people who are coming over to CMS.
That's right.
So if we're looking for the most responsible entity and individuals going forward, it's going to be you and Marsha Armstrong.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks very much, guys.
Can we have a copy of those interagency agreements, please?
Oh, when they're signed. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. I just wanted to ask what the status was of the litigation regarding, the contracts awards from last year's RFP.
Pending the motion that was voted on and approved by COGFA at our last meeting, we did actually finalize and execute the settlement agreement with all the parties to the litigation, and we subsequently to that had gone back to the circuit court here in Springfield, and the case has been dismissed without prejudice. So
great.
That is complete at this point.
Can you give us a copy of those documents also, please?
I can get you those, yes.
Thank you. And can you outline your plans for the future open enrollment period?
If I may, I believe, Jen, would you like?
Great.
Hi, Janice Bonneville, Deputy Director for Benefits. Currently, and I don't know, did these get shared with the members of the committee? You were all given copies of the letters that have been drafted for the members. The letters indicate the presence of the 90-day emergency contracts. On the backside, they talk about changes that we've made and things that are coming, to include a brief discussion about Senate Bill 1313, a map which indicates those counties which were an issue in last year's audit with regard to the coverage under the Blue Cross Blue Shield products, and then the notice of creditable coverage. These letters are currently pending at the printer, awaiting the completion of today's hearing. Once we're finished today, then those letters, assuming that they what I have written in them holds to be true, will be printed at the printer and then put in the mail to the members. We'll go through June the 15th in order to give members sufficient time, but given the fact that we're not changing carriers and because of the fact that we are still in master negotiations, which results in no plan design changes yet, we don't anticipate a lot of changes occurring during this fiscal year, during the fiscal year benefit choice period. As Mr. Brewer indicated, given the extension of the emergency contracts, as well as the unknowns with union negotiations, there may indeed be a need for a later enrollment for members. It is our goal to make that a single one-shot enrollment in order to not bring the IRS knocking on our door asking us just how long our plan year is. So the goal would be to have any kind of subsequent enrollment, which would couple vendor changes to the extent that there are any, as well as any plan design changes later in the year.
Are there any questions from the members regarding that issue? Thank you very much. We appreciate that. I guess, is it correct that the GRF appropriation for FY 2013 for the insurance program is being reduced by $264 million?
Compared to the original GRF appropriation that was included in the governor's introduced budget, there has been, I believe, that amount of reduction. The most recent GRF appropriation bill that was out there was the $1.17 billion. I believe now there is an additional bill. I don't know that bill number off the top of my head, but there's an additional GRF appropriation bill out there for $550 million. So I think there's actually two bills floating around at the moment with differing numbers.
Okay. And what's the current payment cycle for the HMOs and the PPOs?
The PPO for the in-network providers, I believe, is currently at about 280 days, roughly, and out-of-network is just a little bit over 300. At any time, because the HMO providers are paid on a monthly basis as opposed to a daily basis at any given time during the month, that hold cycle can vary, but generally speaking, they are all out at about either 5 or 6 months at this point.
Okay. And what's the projected payment cycle for 2013?
Under the original bill that was introduced, the hold cycles for the PPO plan looks like they could end at about 278 days. And again, the HMOs and other vendors, the hold cycle would look to be approximately 6 months.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions for Colin or Janice?
If I could actually add one more thing.
Sure.
The reduction, the hold cycle that I just noted was based on the reduction in the general revenue funds appropriation down to $1.17 billion.
Uh-huh.
What's not actually included in that number is any savings or additional revenues to the programs that could possibly be generated through collective bargaining or through the legislative process on retiree health care premiums. So those are really just kind of based on a status quo look at the program, and obviously any changes to the program that could generate savings or increase revenue would be to the benefit of those hold cycle figures I gave you.
Great. Thank you. If there are no other questions by members of the committee, we again want to say thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And wish you good luck. Yeah, we appreciate it. Okay. Will the clerk please add Senator Ferrix to the roll? Do you want me to continue? We'll move on to item number 3, the new contracts for 2013 as a result of competitive bids. Cigna.
Good afternoon.
Can you?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. My name is Mike Murphy. I'm here representing Cigna, and I'm here today with Deborah Roberson with Cigna, who is the account executive for the state of Illinois. We're happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Are there questions from members? I'll start out with the first one. What's the length of the current claims hold for preferred providers and non-preferred providers?
Mr. Brewer gave you the correct information. It's 287 days for in-network providers and 301 days for out-of-network providers.
And what's that dollar amount of the claims currently being held, and how does it compare with this time last year?
It's $500 million, and in comparison, last year was around $425 million, so it's increased by about $75
million. Okay. Senator Murphy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there a rate increase for Cigna in this year?
For the upcoming contract?
Correct.
No.
So the Cigna component to this is held flat from FY12?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. It's flat. It doesn't go down. It's flat.
It was a rate continuance.
Okay. Thanks.
Senator Schoenberg.
Do you have any pending regulatory issues with any state agency, or has Cigna been notified that it's under investigation by either a state or any other jurisdictions, law enforcement offices?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no other questions from the members, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's move on to agenda number four, ongoing health contracts, HMOs, BCBS, HMO, Illinois Blue Advantage, Health Alliance Illinois, and Coventry. Please just state your names and who you represent.
Annette Martinez.
Good afternoon. My name is Nick McCarty. I'm Division Vice President for Blue Cross Blue Shield, as you heard. I'm accompanied by Annette Martinez, Lead Account Executive for the State of Illinois. Blue Cross and Blue Shield is pleased to be of service and continued service to the state and to its employees and our members. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Do you have any pending regulatory issues with the Division of Insurance?
Excuse me. Aside from general inquiries, there are no pending investigations with the Department of Insurance.
Are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state attorney general's office?
Again, aside from general inquiries, there are no pending investigations regarding Blue Cross and Blue Shield with the Illinois AG or any other AG.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from the members? What would the impact be of the 5 or 6 month claim hold? The delayment of payment?
What is the financial impact of Blue Cross and Blue Shield?
Right.
Well, certainly any withhold of payment of premiums has an impact on our business model, but our intent is to continue to serve the state of Illinois and its employees to the best of our ability.
Great. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Health Alliance.
Hi, Lori Caudry-Benzo, Senior Vice President and General Counsel with Health Alliance, and with me is Sinead Rice-Madigan, Director of Government Relations, Health Alliance.
Thank you very much. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with the Division of Insurance?
No, we do not.
Okay. And are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No, we are not. I take that back. It was the first question in regard to the Department of Insurance. We also have general inquiries with the Department of Insurance, but nothing that's substantial.
Nothing substantial.
Right. Just normal inquiries.
Okay. Are there any questions from the members? Seeing none. I think we'll move on.
Thank you.
Coventry. Good afternoon.
Roman Kulich, I'm the president of Coventry Healthcare of Illinois. With me today is Michael Wolf, the executive director, and Bonnie Cade, the account manager on the account.
Great, thank you. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with the Division of Insurance?
Other than general inquiries in the normal course of business, no.
Thank you. Are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state Attorney General's office?
No.
Thank you. Any other questions from members? We might as well keep you up because you're on the next thing. Okay, that's the open access plan, the OAPs?
Yes.
Okay, I guess I'll ask the same question. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with the Division of Insurance?
Other than general inquiries in the normal course of business, no.
Okay, are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No.
Any other questions from the members? No. Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That would bring up HealthLink.
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Hagley, Director of Sales with HealthLink, and with me is Susan Laney, the Account Manager for HealthLink.
Thank you very much. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with the Division of Insurance?
We do not.
Are you under any investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
We do not. Not that we're aware of.
Great. Any other questions from members? Seeing none, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the additional health care contractors, Delta Dental and Magellan Behavioral Health. Delta Dental. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Darren Avant. I'm manager of Key Public Accounts, and I am the account manager for the State of Illinois account.
Thank you.
My name is Karen Glogowski. I'm a vice president with Delta Dental of Illinois, responsible for client relations and sales.
Thank you. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with the Division of Insurance?
No, we do not.
Okay. Are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No, we are not.
Great. And has the claims hold had any impact on employees having to pay upfront for dental care?
It has not had any adverse impact. Some providers do elect to charge members up front, but that's totally at the discretion of the provider.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions from any members? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move on to Magellan, please.
Good afternoon. Hi. Julie Billingsley, Magellan Health Services.
Thank you. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with the Division of Insurance?
No, we do not.
Are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No, we are not.
Thank you. Seeing no questions from any other members, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to agenda number 5, renewed and amended contracts for FY 2013. Express Scripts, formerly Medco.
Good afternoon. Jill Stearns, I'm a senior national account executive with Legacy Medco and now Express Scripts.
And Ron Tyson, vice president and general manager with Express Scripts.
Thank you very much. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with any state agency, or are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No, we are not.
Senator Schoenberg.
As a result of the Medco Express Scripts merger, could you tell the commission what changes in your services or interface with the state will be different as a result of that merger?
The merger just took place a couple weeks ago, a little bit longer than that, about a month ago. But as it stands right now, I've actually been the account rep since the beginning in 2005, and everything intends to stay the same. They are looking at facilities and different products, but the idea is to improve service, improve offerings with the merger.
So would you anticipate directing state employees toward a 90-day or mail order prescription filling instead of a traditional 30-day supply filling of prescriptions at their local pharmacy?
No, we've worked very closely with the Department of Health and Family Services, and we recognize the sensitivity around that subject. And years ago, there was a memorandum of understanding where basically all of the communications that we put out with approval through the department both have retail maintenance as well as mail as options.
So will you be executing a new MOU as a result of the merger?
That MOU is actually a state document. It wasn't really specifically with Medco at the time, but we do have a clause in the contract that requires equality.
Okay. My last question is, what, if any, changes will exist in your renewed contract for FY13?
There aren't any changes. The contract remains as is.
Remains as is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. No other questions from members. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
IMED Vision Care, please.
Hello.
Afternoon.
Hi, Natalie Mason, Assistant General Counsel with IMED Vision Care.
I'm Sharon Mukes, National Account Manager.
Thank you. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with any state agency, or are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No.
Okay. What's the percentage utilization of your services been over the past 3 years?
The percentage of utilization of, I'm sorry?
Of your services?
Member usage.
I think it's about 30%.
Okay. Do you feel the employees have a sufficient knowledge of their vision benefits?
I do. It's been in place for 7 years, so
no changes.
Minimal changes. There was changes back in 2010, benefit changes.
Okay.
Since then, it's been the same.
Other than that, okay, great. Any other questions from members? Seeing none, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Fringe Benefit Management Company, Commuter Savings. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Karen Rue. I'm the Senior Account Manager for the State of Illinois.
Great. Are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No, we are not.
Okay. What changes exist in your renewed contract for this year, coming up, 2013?
What changes?
Uh-huh. Are there any?
There is a slight change to the medical and dependent care FSA premium CPI increase. It's from $3.38 per person per month to $3.46, roughly a 2.5%, which is below the CPI average.
Great. Are there any other questions from members? Seeing none, thank you very much.
We
appreciate it. Okay.
So we have to execute this two things, one motion.
MCAP and DCAP. Do we need that?
Huh?
Oh, is that you also?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I have to take that separately.
We're the flexible benefits administrator for medical independent care as well as your commuter savings program.
Okay. And I need to ask them separately those questions. I guess not.
Okay.
I guess we don't. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Then ACS Recovery Services, Inc. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Good. I'm Ruth Mosglick, account manager with ACS Recovery Services in the State of Illinois account. My associate, Sandra, couldn't attend today.
Okay, thanks.
Do I need to ask the same regulatory questions?
Thank you. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with any state agency, or are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No, we're not.
Okay, thanks. Can you describe the services that you provide?
Sure. We supply subrogation or third-party recovery services, basically benefits the state plans pay out that are really the responsibility of a third party. We get that recovery from the third party and then reimburse the state.
Great. What changes exist in your renewed contract for 2013?
Any? Everything's the same. Oh, nothing's great. Changed.
How much do you anticipate in recovery this year?
Actually, just under $1.5 million is being projected. Currently, through the first 4 months, we're at just under $500,000.
And how does that compare with last year?
It's an increase. We were probably at only about $350,000 or $400,000 last year at the same time.
Oh. Okay. Seeing no other questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Was that Simro? Simro?
I'm Jennifer Kirkland, project manager for Simro.
Hi. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with any state agency, or are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No, we're not.
Great. Are there any questions? Seeing no other questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, did you have any changes in your contract?
No.
Okay. Everything's fine. Thank you. Okay, the life insurance contracts for 2013, Minnesota Life.
Hello, my name is Becca Nix, and I am manager of the Springfield branch office for Minnesota Life, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Good afternoon. Well, we'll ask the same question. Do you have any pending regulatory issues with any state agency, or are you under investigation by the Illinois Attorney General or any other state's Attorney General's office?
No, ma'am, we're not.
Thanks. And are there any other changes in your contract?
No.
Any questions from members? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go ahead with the motions then. Somebody like to make a motion? They're in your... Pardon? Representative Tryon? Yeah, there's one motion. Excuse me. Should we do the emergency one first?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Doesn't matter. Okay. Is there a second? Senator Trotter seconds the motion. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Co-Chair Bellick?
Aye.
Senator Ferrix?
Aye.
Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Nekritz? Representative Poe?
Yes.
Representative Riley? Senator Schmidt? Co-Chair Schoenberg?
Aye.
Senator Severson? Senator Trotter? Representative Tryon.
Eight members. Eight
Thank
members
you.
Voting yes.
Okay. We need one more. Eight members voting yes. Zero opposed. The motion passes. Second motion, Senator Schoenberg.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. We have a letter dated May 18th from Director Hamos at HFS requesting that pursuant to any provision set forth in 5 ILCS 375/5 that may apply to emergency procurements that the Director of DHFS is asking the Commission to waive any 30-day contract review period. This request is being made specifically so that the department and the chief procurement officer can enter into emergency health care contracts as expeditiously as possible with H Alliance, HMO, Health Alliance, and Coventry HMO. So I would move for that 30-day waiver, that waiver of the 30-day contract review period.
Representative Tryon seconds that motion. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Co-chair Bellick.
Aye.
Senator Frerichs. Senator Murphy.
Yes.
Representative Nekritz. Representative Poe.
Yes.
Representative Riley. Senator Schmidt. Co-chair Schoenberg.
Aye.
Senator Severson. Senator Trotter. Representative Tryon.
Yes.
8 members voting yes, none voting no.
8 members voting yes, none voting no. The motion passes. I think that's all of our business for today. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.